He was a man who became president by stepping into shoes that were impossible to fill. Franklin Roosevelt was everything Harry S. Truman was not: rich, well-educated, and a man who won election 4 times by identifying with the common man. Truman was that common man. During his first few weeks as vice president, Truman rarely even saw Roosevelt and received no information on critical matters, such as the development of the atomic bomb. But on April 12, 1945, Roosevelt died, thrusting Truman to the forefront of the world's problems. "I felt like the moon, the stars, and all the planets had fallen on me," he would later say. Yet in just 4 months, Truman established his own legacy, ordering atomic bombs dropped on 2 Japanese cities in an effort to end the Second World War. In 1948, Truman was eligible to run for election in his own right, but almost no one gave him a chance to win his own party's nomination, much less the general election in November.
"The nomination of Mr. Truman is, of course, a surefire certainty as of this minute. It is not a very popular certainty among the 1,200-odd delegates gathered out there in the auditorium below me here. In fact, it probably is a safe statement that no 1,200 people ever wanted any less to do what these 1,200 delegates are going to do in the course of the next couple of hours, and that is renominate Mr. Truman. They are thoroughly convinced that Mr. Truman hasn't a chance of winning the presidential election in November, and if there were any other candidate that looked like a more prosperous prospect, one that they could get to accept the nomination, they would like nothing better. But there is nothing they can do about it, and Mr. Truman is in with Senator Alvin Barkley of Kentucky as his probable running mate."
Truman, though, prevailed at the Democratic Party convention in Philadelphia that year, accepting his party's nomination with a rousing speech.
"Senator Barkley and I will win this election and make these Republicans like it. Don't you forget that. I must have your help. You must get in and push and win this election. The country can't afford another Republican Congress."
Yet despite his apparent optimism, few held hope that he could defeat his Republican opponent, New York Governor Thomas E. Dewey. Political commentators and pollsters generally agreed that Dewey would coast to victory. And coast Dewey did, while an impassioned Truman spoke to citizens across the country from the back of a train. Dewey confidently kept a low profile. At each town on Truman's whistle-stop campaign, exuberant crowds beseeched Harry to give him hell, and he responded with fiery speeches, attacking what he called a do-nothing Republican Congress, and charming crowds with his folksy good humor. When the votes were finally counted on November 3, 1948, Harry Truman proved to be the people's candidate.
"We're from Republican headquarters. Jim Hagerty is just now making a statement, which I'm going to try to repeat to you as he's calling it out.
I urge all Americans..."
This is part of the statement. "I urge all Americans," this is from Governor Dewey, "to Harry S. Truman, to unite behind you and support with every effort to keep our nation strong and free,
and to establish peace
in the world. Signed, Thomas E. Dewey."
Truman spent election night in Independence, Missouri, and addressed his supporters the next morning.
"I can't tell you how very much I appreciate this turnout to celebrate a victory, not my victory, but a victory of the Democratic Party for the people. I thank you very much indeed for this celebration, which is not for me, it's for the whole country. It's for the whole world, for the simple reason that you've given me a tremendous responsibility. Now, since you've given me that responsibility, I want every single one of you to help carry out that responsibility for the welfare of this great republic and for the welfare and peace of the world at large. And I'm sure that's what you're going to do."
The 1948 presidential campaign became the stuff of political legend, and a story that will probably never be duplicated. By 1952, more sophisticated polling techniques had begun to remove the possibility of such surprises from presidential elections, and campaign by television and radio commercials gradually replaced the grueling physical exertions of travel by train. Despite, or perhaps because of that, the legacy of Harry Truman's Give 'Em Hell campaign will remain forever secure.